This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and today I am with Bill White with David Gardner & Associates. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joanna. How are you?
I'm great. Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. We're here to talk a lot about wind energy, specifically some federal policies, incentives, grants that are available for the industry, as well as some FERC rulings that have and will affect potentially the future of development. So, Bill, let's start off, and can you give our readers sort of a general overview of federal policy that relates specifically to renewable energy and wind energy?
Sure. I think it's important for the folks to understand that renewable energy is, you know, one of the fastest-growing elements of the energy sector in the U.S. We have incredible resources in many parts of the country that are starting to be developed at a very good clip. You know, for example, wind energy last year was second only to natural gas in terms of providing new electric generation that was installed last year in 2010 in the United States, and it probably won't be long before wind surpasses all other new sources of electric generation as the number one new source of generation in the country. So this is a big business here in the U.S., and the potential is vast, and so the policies that we're going to talk about are really important in terms of job creation and lowering electricity costs and in, you know, increasing our dependence on domestic resources as compared with foreign sources of energy. So the big policies that people ought to be paying attention to at the federal level are, first of all, the production tax credit for wind, and this is a tax credit that's been in place on and off for a number of years, and its most recent enactment is set to expire at the end of 2012. But practically what that means for investors and people in the industry is that it really needs to be extended sooner than that, you know, as soon as possible by this Congress, because leaving it till the last minute will really create a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace and will, you know, make investors a little less comfortable going forward with wind investments. The closer you get, I mean, it could really have a negative effect on, you know, the boom in this industry that's going on despite the recession that we're all experiencing. So that's a very important policy. We're encouraged that we've heard a number of expressions of support for extending the production tax credit from both sides of the aisle in recent months and recent weeks. I was just in Kansas hosting a meeting in Hutchinson, Kansas, which is the site of a new Siemens manufacturing facility for wind turbines. And at our event, Governor Sam Brownback expressed his support for extending the production tax credit. The other important policy I'll make a quick mention of is the investment tax credit, which was enacted in the Recovery Act in 2009. It's also referred to as Section 1603, securely, but it's an investment tax credit, and it gives wind developers the option of, in lieu of the tax credit, the production tax credit I just mentioned, they can take a 30% investment tax credit for a new facility. That actually is even more urgent if folks want to extend that to be extended because if construction has to begin on facilities by the end of 2011 to be eligible for that investment tax credit. So I think these are issues that are going to be very important in the coming super committee debate that we're all about to experience in the fall with the Congress. So I think really if we step back and look at what's most important, it's really the most important thing in our view is to extend the production tax credit for a long period of time to give stability and certainty to the industry. So in addition, the third thing I'll mention, which we spend a lot of time on, I co-manage a project for the Energy Future Coalition called Americans for a Clean Energy Grid. And we've been working for several years on transmission, the policies for planning and paying for new high-voltage transmission lines to take wind from places where the resource is best, like the Great Lakes, and bring it to places where people use power. one of the biggest barriers to developing this tremendous resource is the absence of a strong high voltage network that will move the power efficiently from where it's most cost effective to produce it to where people use a lot of electricity. And FERC recently issued a series of orders under the name Order 1000 that really take some important steps to reform the way we plan and share the costs of new transmission. We're very supportive of the FERC's order. We think it does take some important steps to improving the process for planning and paying for these limits.
Great. Now, Bill, you talked a little bit about FERC. How do you think that ruling is going to affect how investments are going to be made into this industry? There's been a lot of sort of finger pointing on, well, we think utilities should pay, we think private sector needs to pay, we think consumers need to pay. So how will that, if you could go into a little more detail, how will those rulings really hopefully help that investment structure?
It's a great question. Really, traditionally, high voltage lines, the biggest lines that move power long distances, have the cost of those lines have traditionally been shared broadly among everyone who benefits from having those lines. That's been the way it's always been, and that's what FERC continues with this rule. The difference with the rule is that it really expands the size of the regions over which those costs can be shared to allow folks to plan and pay for lines that, you know, cover larger areas and travel longer distances. Right now, the electric system has been evolving for many years from small utility-based regions where, you know, one power plant serves a set of customers in a relatively small area to a larger and larger and more integrated network. A good analogy is the way our transportation system has evolved from county roads to state highways and ultimately to a robust interstate highway system. And the electric system is really somewhere in between sort of state and regional lines and a true, you know, interstate system. And FERC is really just incrementally moving us in the direction of being able to build and share the cost of, you know, a set of lines that would help us better integrate and manage the system over larger areas. The fact is the system is already integrated and it connects, you know, it is one big machine in a sense in large portions of the country. And all FERC is doing is really helping the regions do a better job of planning together and working together over larger areas. So what this means for renewable energy, it's really crucial because when you look at a map of where the best resources are and where people live and use electricity in large numbers, they're separated by large distances, and the lines to connect the best resources to the population centers have to cross many states in many cases. And so in order to have that planning take place and have the costs shared appropriately among very broad numbers of people who benefit from those lines, we need to have a new planning process that will help folks to do that in a timely and balanced and fair way.
So kind of in closing, what's a message that you really want the wind industry to know and maybe an action that you want them to take that is going to really help ensure that this industry is successful?
Well, you know, the wind industry has already been very successful, and I think it's going to be even more successful in the future. I would suggest that, you know, everyone recognize what an enormous resource we have here in the U.S. in wind. It's extraordinary and enough to power everything we do in this country. And so I would say that, you know, folks ought to keep moving forward and keep getting the word out about what wind is doing for free jobs and lowering energy prices right now, which it's doing. And, you know, if we're able to really build the infrastructure in a way that under this new FERC order, which we think is going to really accelerate the process for building this critically needed infrastructure, So then we're really going to see this industry take off to new levels, even from where it is today. It's going to provide higher and higher percentages of our power at low cost. And ultimately, you know, the great thing about wind and other renewable energy is there's no fuel cost. Once you have these resources and infrastructure in place, we don't have to worry about the changing price of wind as we do for the changing price of other fuels. It's free, and it's going to be there indefinitely.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was great. I really enjoyed it.